T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
In the night, I hear them talk, the cold story ever told, somewhere far along this road.
Oh my God. So welcome into the WEEI Producers Show. We had a whole like show planned out. It's sports betting. We were going to start the show here, but I just got sidetracked by a text here to 37937. Dan Shaughnessy is an effing loser, and anyone who likes anything he writes is also an effing loser.
I agree.
I don't know. I actually probably would agree with all that.
I appreciated his write-up about Kevin Hayes a few months ago. I assume he's not referring to that one.
No. I'm sure. You think Dan Shaughnessy ever writes about hockey in general, any hockey topic?
No, he's writing about the stories.
Yes.
Well, he did. He was the one who threw the Kevin Hayes write up there when it was
when
the family actually like told everyone what happened, and it was a good write up. I assume this guy missed that one. He isn't into the human stories.
I just like dumping on Dan Shaughnessy because I think he sucks. I'm just not a Dan Shaughnessy fan. By the way, I reminded our audience, he is a liar, by the way.
He is
Dan
Shaughnessy's
a liar.
I
heard he's a liar.
He is a liar. He does not appreciate being called a liar.
So we'll read this story from MassLive.com, much better than the Boston Globe. This is the headline, sports betting will not be ready for much of football. By the way, welcome to the WEI Producer Show. Ryan Garvin, John Anderson, Tyler Devitt.
I'm back, baby!
Hearts on our sleeve this morning. Tyler, flags at half-mast. Kim K and Pete broke up. We'll address it. We'll move on.
That rocked my world this morning. You came in, you're like, did you see the news? And I'm like, no. I thought you were talking about the Mac Jones interceptions last night. Josh
you
Bledsoe.
See the news?
Josh Bledsoe guys, pick.
I came in with a very solemn voice, and everyone was like, no, was there a major death or
it's
something?
In all
I'm
the
like,
periodicals.
Well.
Anthony Jennings possibly won that last night.
Do you need a moment? Because once we get into sports,
I'd say we're good. I just wanted to not, when major news happens in the world, a lot of times we have to come in here and we have to sort of just like do a sports show, turn off the rest of the world, sort of
it's
be
hard.
For the audience, like we're an escape
we're
from the
journalists.
From the scary stories and the things that you come to us to escape from the real world. So, but certain stories just rise, like Brittany Griner, like things like that, just rise to a certain level where it's like we can't go the whole show without addressing this. So, I just thought I'd mention the breakup of Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson after 9 months. Earlier in the show, Nick LaPan played the Kanye coming in. I'm sure Kanye wasn't happy. He was listening. We know he listened to this show. He probably turned it off.
Good morning,
right
Kanye.
T's and P's.
Right as that happened. So we'll get out of the way. Again, flags at half mast. Sure. Where we do the show with a heavy heart this morning. Sports gambling.
The reconcilable differences.
Let's re-raise those flags because sports gambling is legal, baby.
Yes.
Let's go.
Okay.
Sports gambling is legal.
Well, Probably not for this football season.
Back to half
mask.
I
have my phone.
I'm used to half mask.
I'm going to go to FanDuel or I'm going to go to BetMGM and how do I do it, guys? I don't know about gambling. I want to place a bet. Let's go. How do I do it?
Well, hold on. Back to full mask, though, because a lot of our brick and mortar places, such as that end of Gillette Stadium where there's an empty alcove that is clearly meant for the sports book. Those are going to open right away, right?
Oh, no, because we're waiting on Charlie Baker, who apparently is on vacation, I guess, because the bill's just, like, chilling on his desk.
Okay, back to half-mast.
So not legal just yet, and because it's not legal just yet, I don't know if it's because of Charlie or if it's just, like, the whole
Charlie's not going to sign it. Like, in April, he literally has a quote from April that said, we need to get sports gambling passed in Massachusetts.
Oh, he would get shredded.
So I don't know where he is, but he's not on vacation. He's shutting down the Orange Line.
Not while I'm on the Vineyard, though. That was the end of the quote. We need sports betting passed, but not while I'm on siesta. Get it on my time, baby.
So I don't know if it's Charlie Baker's fault. Probably not Charlie's fault. It's probably more just the state in general because the state likes to run at their own pace. So it looks like sports betting will soon be legal. How soon that is, we don't know. But it's trending towards that way after the Senate passed it and it goes to Charlie Baker's desk. But now it looks like for much of this 2023 football season, we can't bet against the Patriots offense, which apparently is all-time bad. They looked horrible last night, according to all accounts. We'll get to that here soon. But the story here is that we will not have sports betting, which has been passed, for much of this football season and potentially until 2023. What is your reaction to that, Ryan Garvin?
I'm not shocked in the least to hear this because it takes Massachusetts, our fine commonwealth, to so long, so much longer than it should to come to the obvious and most simple conclusion in that there's really nothing inherently wrong with betting your money on sports. I don't have a problem with it. I've never been big gambling guy, but especially now that it's as popular and wild as it's ever been, I think it's great for this business that we're in, and I think it's good for people that want to do it. Go ahead and do it, but I'm not shocked that we're all here. We agreed on it. Props to Mutt. I legitimately think he had a lot to do with bringing it to the forefront, noting how basically every single state that touches Massachusetts has legalized gambling, and it's a joke that we don't, and I'm happy it's here, and I am not even a little surprised to know that we're going to have to wait even longer. It's like they dangle that carrot right in front of your face, and you're like, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm going to eat this carrot, and they yank it away from you.
How long did Mutt have this crusade called hashtag let us bet?
Dude,
I think
I came here in 19, he had it going.
Yeah.
In 2019.
Yeah, you joined like January of 19, I think, February. I think it was before that.
Oh, absolutely, before that.
This is almost by 4+ years, and he's been betting on sports for longer than that. So Mutt's been having this let us bet crusade forever.
Documented. I thought it was like this Andy Kaufman-esque, I'm never giving up the bit kind of thing. No, he legitimately cares in all that hard work and effort.
No. Hold on.
It paid off.
I heard driving in today on the other station that it was Mark Bertrand who gets the credit for this because he talked about it on his radio show recently. And therefore, the concerned citizens of the Commonwealth emailed their senators and their representatives, and that's what got it done. I heard that on the radio coming in.
Mutt, I apologize.
What a crack of
way too
BS.
Many people in this market take credit Bertrand. For other people's work.
Yes.
That's a separate show. We'll save that for a different show.
I do want to make it clear. It wasn't Bertrand taking the credit himself. It was somebody else.
Oh, I think he'll take it.
It was Joe Murray giving it to him, which is complete garbage.
Oh, well, then I'm going to
have me on your show, Mark.
First group.
Yeah. But Mark Bertrand does not deserve credit. If anyone does, it's Mutt, because Mutt was pushing this harder than anyone did. And during the COVID sports radio darkness, which was Red Sox replays and mystery guests.
Oh, God.
Mutt was doing Let Us Bet like every single night.
Mystery guests.
Because
That quite a time that was.
Oh, we love the mystery
Sean
guests.
Spicer on with us this afternoon.
Oh, man. Sean Spicer came out with like one of the worst jokes ever. No, it's Tom Brady. We're like, ah.
Who was the WCW
the world is
champion / actor that we had on?
David Arquette.
David Arquette. Yeah, he
David
was great. Arquette.
All right, that's our squirrel moment. So, sports betting. Just to take you back a little bit, I was very excited when they legalized marijuana. Again, I thought that was something that really was kind of an archaic rule. That
I was in college. I was also very happy.
I bet you were. I bet a lot of your friends Tyler and a lot of LePan's friends were very happy about that. But even that took time. And that I can understand why it takes time. You know, there's a lot of rules and regulations.
It takes time to grow the product.
You need to grow the product. Yeah. You need your local police on board.
He
you need
can't
security.
Stay off the weed.
I'm a gummy guy.
All
now.
Time great well, job.
I got to help Fourier with
oh,
that.
Oh, likewise.
This to me, I'm sure there is a very good reason that I have not thought of because I'm not bright enough. But I would like to think that because the blueprint has already been set in so many states that are, you know, we'll say similar to Massachusetts, and you know, all the sports books around here were ready to go, that this should not take an entire calendar year. At the very least, the majority of the football season. I mean, if you're doing out-of-state college betting, You know, you want to get your parlays lined down, your full season parlays in the NFL, your futures, whatever. Isn't this the, you guys know better than me, but isn't this the time that you want to start thinking about those things?
True.
And not go to New Hampshire and give New Hampshire your money? 23% of the Super Bowl bets that came into New Hampshire were from Massachusetts.
Yes.
Governor Baker. That's money
and
to keep
half
the
of
roads
them were
paved, man.
And Chris Sununu was loving it because he's like, how is Charlie Baker letting this happen that all these residents doing this?
Oh, so every Saturday after a few weeks of the season starts, because you know you don't want to bet too much for week one. You don't know a whole lot about teams. You don't want to bet Packers money line, for example, against the Saints and have them lose 38-3 in week one.
in
theoretically, if you did that, you don't want that to happen. But me and three of my friends, we'd switch off every Sunday morning. And one of us we'd all pile in one person's car. We'd drive up to New Hampshire. We'd park at the Pheasant Lane Mall. We'd place all of our bets. And then we'd go out to breakfast in New Hampshire in some random breakfast place is getting what basically amounts to like, there's like a tourism economy because of it. It's like, you know, you have all the beach, all the beach towns
in
Maine and like down the Cape and everything.
The money you guys were spending on hash browns and coffee.
The tips that were coming
in. Oh my goodness. No question. So it's just, it seems like this is the obvious thing. Your Encores, your WinBet, whatever. They were ready. I know they were ready. Mm-hmm. Do you think they have those machines? Would you rather have them and not need them or need them and not have them? They've been sitting
Some of the ideas that were bandied about as far as like other things that Massachusetts might do in order to get more tax money out of us that hopefully is now replaced by sports betting. Like one of the examples they were going to do, and this has been illegal in Massachusetts for a long time, and it's not illegal in Rhode Island. So anybody who's ever been called to court in Rhode Island might have war stories of this. Red light cameras.
That should be unconstitutional.
Yeah, so you don't get pulled over. It is in Massachusetts. They should codify it.
I got three of those in Florida before I moved here.
Oh, ugh. This happened to me in Rhode Island once. I showed up for a separate incident in Rhode Island. It was like a parking ticket or something. And in the middle of the courtroom, they dropped down a projector. Dead ass. They drop a projector down in the courtroom and they pull up an unrelated incident and there's other people in this courtroom and it's just like me blowing a red light. It's a completely separate incident.
Mr.
And I'm like,
Anderson.
And I'm
hell
like,
no.
Where were you on this night?
I'm in the middle of trying to talk myself out of this other incident. And then the judge just dead stares me in the eye and they drop down the projector. And then me just frantically like blowing a red light like this, like everything on camera. I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
Did they like zoom in on the driver's window? It's like, this looks exactly like you, John.
Is this
where
not
were
you?
You?
I plead the fifth. Even though the fifth, we were well past the fifth.
Is that
you're
the 1975 bumper sticker?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, so they were gonna do that in Massachusetts. It hasn't happened yet. Hopefully, this replaces that because that like some of these red lights even around where we work are insane. And like Gresh blew one yesterday. He gave me a lift home, and he just didn't even just like went right through it. He lives in Rhode Island.
He
too.
Sounds like a person that has no patience for red lights.
Oh yeah,
probably
for sure.
Right here on Market Street.
Oh yeah,
next
yep,
to the stockyard. Yep. Oh, yep. That's it's a waste. I'm actually remembering a headline talking about kind of these revenue streams. Of course, this is going to be a big revenue pusher for the state. Here's a headline. With $4 million budget gap, Newton schools lay off 53 staff members because they had no money.
Yeah.
And we took this long to push sports betting in Massachusetts when we're laying off teachers.
Yeah,
that is disgusting.
I'm sure the money's going to go straight to the teachers.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it will. It won't go to any.
We're a very pro teacher country, as people have told you for the last 3 years, even though no one does anything to help them.
It won't go in Steve Wynn's pockets. It won't go in any of our politicians. There's no corruption going on or anything like that. But
so, political corruption.
When we inevitably
at the state house
drain the swamp.
When we inevitably get to the simplest and most obvious answer in Massachusetts, and we can finally. Hashtag let us bet. What is the first thing, Tyler, that you are going to bet on?
The first thing that I'm going to bet on is actually legal here because you cannot bet on like BC regular season games, if I have that correct. You can't bet on like BC Clemson Saturday night, but you can bet on.
You can't bet against BC, is what you mean.
Yeah, I would never bet
on
BC. I'd bet on the BC game, but I wouldn't bet on BC themselves. So I'm actually very, very excited to bet on college bowl season, even more so for the NCAA tournament. I love the NCAA tournament. That will be my first bet. That's the one I'm most looking forward to. Are you going to bet some sumo wrestling?
I would love to bet sumo wrestling, but I think it's a whole complicated thing. Plus, I don't think it does.
Stick to your UFC. You've been killing
it
in UFC.
The next Bosch show isn't for another month and a half. And yeah, I would absolutely. It's fights for me. You know, I don't mean to humble brag, but I'm going to absolutely full on brag when I went 47-13 in the month of July.
Are you posting these picks on your Twitter?
Oh, absolutely. Follow me at Ryan Matt Garvin. I'll have picks out today. I generally haven't been too great on my underdogs, but I went 11-0 on the Adesanya card when I was deadly sick with COVID.
That's wild.
And
God.
I went 12-2, I think, on the last, on the Nunez Pena card. I hit every single pick on the main card. And it's just, it's fun for me. And usually I will say the odds makers are fairly spot on about these bets in fighting. Like, if there's a big underdog, it's usually for a reason. But if I get my way, the thing I, more than any other fight, Nate Diaz at 279 in Madison Square Garden, I believe is the event, is supposed to be fighting Khamzat Chimaev, who's just an absolute savage.
Right?
Nate Diaz, and any fight fan knows Nate Diaz is one of the best, and he's a, I think, a plus 800, and that's the kind of stupid bet that you could drop $50 on and forget about it.
Even 10 bucks.
And you come out with so much cash, and to me, that would be the fun part of looking at it, is like, oh, yeah, wow, this guy's like a plus 4,500 to get a submission in the second round. I'll ride with that. There's so much opportunity just specifically in mixed martial arts for that kind of fun. John, what about you?
So it depends on when the switch is actually flipped and what I can do. If it's in the fall, yeah, I'm betting football.
Football.
If it's post-Super Bowl, then, man, that is NHL overseason. That is NHL. This season was insane for NHL overs, especially after they had to do the COVID pause at the beginning of January over the winter there. When it came back, it was literally just overs, overs, overs. And then a lot of those big teams like the Lightning and the Maple Leafs, all of their playoff series, or in the Maple Leafs case, their one yearly playoff series, the first like three or four games over hits all of them, and then the last three it goes under.
Are you just game by game, or do you try to string them together? I know you guys always have your primetime parlay on Gresh and Keefe, but try to loop them all in?
I would do, what do you mean, like have multiple over bets on the same night,
exactly,
on the same parlay? No, I just try to find one I like, basically. A lot of it's based on, like, the goalie matchups, too. Like, the Blue Jackets, every time they played Elvis Merlikens in net, it was just like they've let up 90 goals.
Yep.
That was, it's like the over-unders rarely set higher than 6.5. One of the Maple Leafs Lightning games did go up to 7. That was the highest one I'd seen all year, and they smoked it still. So
I'm excited about not making trips to Twin River, which the show was there once. Christian Fourier fell in love with the Rockies there because he bet on the Rockies. I did like Twin River, but I'm excited to not make the hour-long trek. I know Shine made the trip down to one of the malls to go place his sports bets because it was in New Hampshire.
Surprised, right? He hasn't taken credit for this.
Oh, he's
yet.
Like a migrating penguin. He does that all the time. This is great for the people like me, the people like Fourier. I think even Wiggy falls under the same banner. We're lazy people.
Casuals, mate. Casual,
you know,
sports bets.
You're sitting on your couch and you're looking at the lines and you go, oh, that's interesting, I'm gonna drop a couple dollars on that, and there's my digital ticket. Like, I think this is great for the people that don't have a guy.
Did you ever have a guy?
No, never. I've never bet. I've never had any interest in gambling. No,
this is one of your UFC guys, Tyler. Who was this guy?
He's not a UFC guy.
You got him mixed up.
Oh, you know. Like, Ryan, nope. Are you a UFC guy?
Yeah, I am, actually, Glenn. Thank you. I've been sounding this drum for a couple of years now. I'm glad you finally paid attention to me.
That was like in his final weeks in the show after working with you for like 3 or 4 years.
I'm just more impressed you knew my name at that point.
Keith called me Jeff a couple months ago. I've been working with him since January of 2018.
You probably deserved it in some fashion. Keith loves dumping on you.
Thank you, Ron.
He loves
my name is Jeff. His reaction, though, you could tell it was by accident. He like knew. He was like, oh.
I live for
Let's
Keith
go to Jeff Anderson with Trending here on the Producer Show.
Love Keith dumping on him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI. We are right back to the WEEI Producers Show.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Day and night.
Back here on the WEEI Producer Show. Don't forget you can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Ryan Garvin, John Anderson,
yes,
Tyler Devitt back here on the Producer Show. The Red Sox, do they have any chance of making the playoffs? I feel like this is almost...
Of course they do.
It almost seems like a waste to say these next 2 months are going to be a complete waste of everyone's time, but I feel like that's what we're going towards. I feel like we're heading towards an 81-81 season, 162. They're a 500 ball club. They need to get red hot because the last, what, month of the season is just absolutely brutal.
Yeah,
they've got the Braves, Orioles, and Yankees this week. That'll help get right back on track.
Yeah, you can't even beat the Royals. You can't even sweep the world. They beat them last night, but the night before with Darwin's and Hernandez blowing up on the mound. Doesn't inspire confidence in anyone, but there was an interesting comment on our show yesterday, Ryan, from Lou, who everyone, of course, respects his baseball opinion, and he really wanted Chaim Bloom to go out and like improve this team. He wanted him to buy, not sell. They played the middle, which pissed off everyone, of course. But the comment yesterday was that he declared the Red Sox season as Dunsky. I'm very close.
Which means it's over.
Yeah, which means it's over.
That's the Dunsky is the highest degree of negativity that somebody on the afternoon show can give. Yeah.
What is a KFC from Barstool's Mets thing? Doesn't he say, I think he says canceled the season like in May or June.
Do we have to dump that?
No, cancel, C-U-N-C-L, like it's like cancel, but it's a different word for them. I don't know, it's the way they say it, I guess. But he cancels the Mets season in like July because they stink every year. It's almost like the Dunsky hammer for the Red Sox right now is being placed because I just don't see any chance they make a major run, beat all these good teams, which they haven't done in the first half of the season. It would take a major momentum swing for them to make the playoffs. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't. Look, I don't think you're wrong that they need a major momentum swing, but we've also seen that the core of this group has had those major momentum swings.
I guess is the better question.
I think it happens in a couple ways. One, I think I would like to see JD Martinez start hitting a little more consistently because I think your lineup all of a sudden has some dimensions to it. If, you know, Xander had a great night last night, I think it went 4-for-4. If JD and Alex Verdugo, I would look at those two guys to start with. If
JD hit sixth last night. He's never done that in his career.
It's really weird. But he's a guy that I generally don't worry about long term. He's got stretches, but if anybody's going to figure it out, he's the kind of hitter that is sort of designed to figure out why he's slumping. But I thought it was really good that Alex Verdugo has also been stepping up with this team. I thought, you know, early in the year, he was one of the reasons why they were winning any games. And, you know, he has stretches where he's not hitting. And then he also has stretches where he's hitting the ball on the screws and just he's hitting it right at every single outfielder. And that can be tough to watch. And it can also adversely affect your lineup because I think they need him in spots where maybe Xander is having a down day. Maybe JD is 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. The other thing that, you know, I know, you know, buyers and sellers at the deadline, I like Eric Hosmer on this team, and it's a point that I was thinking about, but I'll credit Will Fleming for pointing that out because he's so right, is the thing that was so important about Kyle Schwarber joining this team last year, it wasn't his ability to sock dingers. It wasn't his ability to stumble around playing first base. It was his patient approach at the plate, which is something that historically this team has never been good at. This is a team that never really likes to draw walks. They were a team before Alex Cora joined that they would take 0-1 fastball down the pike, and every team knew that they were going to do it. Then they started swinging at everything, and they've never really gotten to like a good disciplined approach. All that being said, you can see it with Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer has no problem letting four or five pitches go.
Professional
okay,
hitter.
Whatever. I'm in a 2-2 count. I'm in a 1-2 count. I'm fine. I'm not worried about it. And I really hope that that patient approach will pay off. The other thing, so that's the lineup. The other thing, and I'm going to take the words right out of Lou's mouth because he's so right, and you saw it in real time last night. This bullpen needs one more guy. I don't think that is a ridiculous request. All these guys are allegedly major league players, all right? This isn't the Worcester bullpen like it is with the infield and the outfield.
Well, there were no hitter recently.
Oh, did they?
The WooSox, 2 days ago,
good,
no hitter.
Good for them. Great for them. That don't help the Red Sox. And I was so frustrated last night when John Schreiber came into the game, because you really got something interesting with Schreiber, this diamond in the rough, Garrett Whitlock and Tanner Houck. That is a great excuse me, that's a great trio.
You know what we call that?
A threesome?
Structure.
I was calling it a threesome. I tried to avoid threesome, but I'm just going to lean into threesome.
It's a structured
threesome. It's a great
threesome,
all right? Schreiber with
craziness in that threesome.
There you go. Thank you, Lou. And all you need is one guy. And Sawamura, who has been dog water for a good portion of his time with the Red Sox, came in and looked really good. I think
struck out of the side.
Like, okay, great. Yes, I understand. It's the Kansas City Royals, whatever. But, like, you haven't been really competing with these teams for the last month and a half. And then Austin Davis comes in and can't throw the damn ball over the friggin' plate. I'm laughing because Josh Stamon is walking the bases loaded, and then Austin Davis like, hold my beer. Here I come. Big fudge. Ball. Big fudge. Ball four.
Ball four.
Honest.
Ball eight.
Yeah. As someone who went to games over the last... I've gone to like four games over the last 2 weeks, and Big Fudge has appeared in two of them. My God, he's horrible. I hate watching him. Sawamura has one of the worst paces in terms of like... Second, it's like 32 seconds between each
pitch.
If
he gets men on, forget it. You go get some popcorn.
Oh my God.
Go take a poop. Nothing's happening when Sawamura's out there on the field. However, when he's throwing strikes, I can live with that. When his splitter is working and he's not losing his fastball, Sawamura, I'm totally okay.
Big Fudge
can
throw strikes. It's like not in his realm of possibilities.
I mean, he's 7-1. Jaren Duran, you little twerp. Jaren Duran.
Two RBIs last
7-1.
Night,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Keep his name out your
don't
mouth.
Worry. I won't be cheering for you.
Apparently, his cousins
Jaren.
Are very active on Twitter defending
good.
Him.
Tell him he stinks. Tell him to run
the
better
new
routes.
Warfords.
But so one more guy in the bullpen, and who knows? Maybe it is Sawamura. Maybe Matt Barnes decides he's going to wake up and go, "Oh yeah,
he was good." The other
I
night.
Used to be a good reliever. I used to be a shutdown closer. I was an all-star almost. I got an extension. I could be a great player. And he fell off. The last thing I really would like to see is I think Cutter Crawford's a good player. I think Nathan Eovaldi can anchor you when you need him to. You know, he's always going to be good for 6 or 7 innings. Nick Pivetta is the guy that I look towards. And I feel like mentally he's got the acumen he needs to be a competitor and be a really solid baseball player. He's got a little Chris Sale nuttiness in him, which I respect.
He does.
But my God. If you go out there and his curveball is really good, he can generally, when he is on, he's throwing his curveball for strikes. And I think at that point, he's borderline unhittable. But like four of his last five games, he's been terrible. And you're taxing a bullpen, which I just finished a 6-minute rant about how you don't have more than three guys. So I think with this schedule coming up, yes, the Orioles are winning a lot. Yes, the Yankees have won 70 games this year. I don't think it is in the realm of impossibilities that this team can close some distance, that maybe the edginess of having Tommy Pham, of having Eric Hosmer, of dropping some of the dead weight from this team, Jake Diekman, will help you going forward. And at the very least, you're not going to win the AL East. That, forget it. But nobody else is. The Yankees have run away with it. But don't tell me that the Orioles can't collapse down the stretch. It's the Orioles. Don't tell me the Cleveland Guardians are going to run away and outpace you, or even Seattle. Like, Seattle's been playing really well. But all these teams have flaws. And if the Red Sox can start playing consistently, just can you beat the bad teams? Can you win the series with the bad teams? then I think it is totally possible that this season is not Dunsky and they might actually have a chance at a wild card. And then from there, let's go. Let's go. Put your best horses out there. If Chris Sale's back and he's playing catch now, I think I read that report the other day. Go get him.
Nice playing catch.
Put him out there. But I don't think that this season is Dunsky. I'm not ready to say it.
I won't be here with you guys next weekend, but if you guys are sitting here Saturday morning and they lose to the Royals again, they lose to the Royals tonight and tomorrow, and they lose to the Orioles twice this week, and I think there's a Braves game in there, and then they play the Yankees on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, then no.
If there's five losses in there, then you know, maybe the topic isn't really worthwhile because we know what the answer is.
Yeah, there'll be slightly more yelling on my part when that inevitably happens.
The Red Sox have a 25.1% chance to make the playoffs, a 0.8% chance to win the World Series, according to Fangraphs.
So there's a chance.
Yeah, there's still a chance. Better chance to actually make the playoffs. The Red Sox at 25% or the Patriots, who I see here at playoff odds, plus 140.
Well, if we get to week five and they still can't run a play, then
I almost think
that'll be the first team I'm betting against, actually.
I know I just counted the Red Sox out. I think there's a better chance the Red Sox make the playoffs than the Patriots.
I think the Patriots are going to be terrible.
The Patriots are in for a tough season here, guys. The quarterback's not going to take that year two step because the supporting cast is not great. The offensive staff's not great. The defense is taking a step back. The best defensive mind in the history of the game has transitioned to being an offensive coach. The offensive line coach is serving as the offensive coordinator, and Joe Judge is the quarterback's coach. It's just such a dumpster fire. I don't understand the setup around him. It's almost like we say about Chaim Bloom, like with these trades, he's trying to flex his big baseball brain. I feel like Belichick's trying to do that with the Patriots. Like, you don't think Joe Judge can work with this quarterback? You think he ruined Daniel Jones? Oh, he's fine with Mac Jones. Oh, Matt Patricia, he can be the O-line coach and the OC.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL. Right?
No,
I think I did a pretty
good
job.
You've never played football in your life.
I mean, you've been a fan of some pretty awful football teams in your lifetime. Have you ever seen anything?
I was a Bears fan for 20 years.
Okay, take
currently
the Bears. You covered the Jacksonville Jaguars for work. I mean, have you ever seen anything as dysfunctional? I mean, and as we perceive to be dysfunctional as you're seeing with the 2022 Patriots, their offense, the defense, the coaching staff, you've never seen anything
I
said Jacksonville, by the way. I didn't stutter. Tyler covered the Jaguars, and he's saying that this team is more dysfunctional.
Do you guys remember Gus Bradley?
Yes.
Jaguars? He was like the DC for like the Legion of Boom, the Seahawks defense, of course.
Yeah.
I think he's now with the Chargers.
Yep. Chargers
in
DC
LA. So anyways, like those teams, he had the second worst win-loss percentage in the history of the league. Number one was Burt Bell, who owned the Eagles. He was the owner and head coach. He couldn't fire himself because he owned the damn team back in the 30s. So Gus Bradley is literally the worst head coach ever. And I think he had a better coaching staff around Blake Bortles than Mac Jones does with Bill Belichick, Joe Judge, Matt Patricia. Like, it's sad what they're surrounding Mac Jones with. And Devontae Parker, who I've been told has three catches in training camp so far. Every receiver has more catches right now than your wide receiver number one, Devontae Parker.
It's a lot.
Is that a big deal or no? I feel like no one's making a big deal out of that.
It's a lot of like Tyquan Thornton talk too, which I was told by many people when they drafted him. Hey, he's not going to see the field. He's a fast guy, but he's not going to get out there.
I can't go down the road of overreacting to training camp things because all camp last year we were fed this bill of goods that Ja'Marr Chase can't catch the ball. So
well, that was fair though because he was complaining about the white stripe not being on the ball.
Yeah, but
in college
but
it is, and he's
still,
like, well, that's gone now. That's
but
that
did
makes
it matter?
It hard. Well, if he was dropping everything in training camp and he was saying that, then I think it was fair to at least question it.
Oh, no. It's fair to report on it. I'm not saying that.
To be like, this is a major red flag.
Every single year, every single team has all of these things in training camp, and none of them matter. Every year, none of them matter.
I think
you get on the field in week one, and even, you know, for the Patriots, September sort of doesn't really count either. Like, none of it ever matters. Not saying we shouldn't discuss it. Not saying that it's not worthwhile questions, but it always ends up not mattering.
What do you think is more important, like preseason games or these training camp practices where we're hearing the stats? Mac Jones was 18 of 24 with one pick and two touchdowns, and the player of the game was do those matter at all?
I think neither really, but if I have to pick one, I guess the preseason game because at least you're on the field. But I mean, if they're really changing the way that the offense is run, I guess these practices are pretty damn important as well. but they can't run a play. But that's why it'll be great if if our state senate gets their s together and we can like bet on these. Because I just remember in 2020 how fun it was to bet against the Eagles offense because they couldn't run a play. So you just knew they you can't run a play. You're going to the 2019 Patriots offense.
Well,
for that matter.
I totally get that. You know, it's some days they have no practice or no pads on in practice, but. Your offense goes 0-10. Like, that's not insignificant either. Like, they're supposed to be out there.
Maybe they have the best defense in the league.
You know, as oh my god, don't even
maybe
give
every
me that.
Every defense they
don't
play is going to be worse.
Don't even give me that because after they went 0-10, they gave up the play in the end zone.
The defense shut them out. Push-ups. They shut them out in camp though. Shut them out in camp.
Boogeyman 3.0.
Yeah. Okay, you're 3.0. Right. Camp doesn't matter.
Bring back Van Noy.
Yeah, let's say good morning to Bob in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Good morning, Bob.
Well, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Well, excellent, sir.
Well, you guys talking a little bit about everything, and a friend of mine that is really a big Patriots fan, I ran into him yesterday, and he's been watching some of the preseason stuff. He gets to get down there. And I said to him, I said, can I ask you, good or bad, how do things look? And I already knew the answer within reason. He says, Bob, things don't look good at all. He says, this doesn't look. And I go, well, what's going to happen when the season starts and they play any good teams? And I says, and they're going to hang this young quarterback out to dry. And his just for what it's worth, his reports were not very positive at the very least.
Is his name Andy Hart?
No, it's not his name, but he's normally pretty, whatever that word is usually fairly reliable. And I said, there's been no improvements made whatsoever to speak of. And he just wasn't too on board.
So, Bob, like, what are you seeing for this season in terms of wins? And did your friend's, intel kind of bring you down?
Well, what his opinion was, and mine, again, not really being the big person, knowing, everything about it, if some of these other teams have improved dramatically that they're going to be playing, and they've either stayed stagnant or went the other direction, I wouldn't hold my breath. If you're a Pats fan, I would say at best they should win at least 7, but then again, this could go from much bad to worse. That's what people I know are sort of really heavily favoring.
I think that's fair to say. They should win 7 games.
Why
I think
should they win 7 games? Well, I brought that up yesterday.
Because they won 7 games with a much inferior roster 2 years ago.
I don't.
You can always go back to that.
I hate that argument.
But that's just based on the quarterback.
It's not valid.
Your defense was so much better compared to what it is. Your coaching staff was so much better compared to what it is. There's no reason they should win 7 games. It would be neat if they did. I mean, geez, if the over-under a lot of people is saying is 8.5, I would go under. Based on, okay, if you don't think training camp is super valid, that's totally fine. But I can't, it's like everything is just, that's why I said, it's your friend Andy Hart. Every single Andy Hart headline is like, man, this offense is looking really bad. Bill Belichick says they're inching ahead, and man, they got miles to go. Their first preseason game is next Thursday, where I think Maloney, Fourier, and Mega will be at La Cantina.
Oh, yes.
From 2 to 6.
Premium.
But
it'll really be able to tell how good they match up against the Panthers and the Giants and the Raiders second teamers this preseason.
Baker Mayfield shredding
if you want to wait to cast I'm not going to wait.
Sam Darnold going to see ghosts in that
wait.
Game.
I've seen and I saw plenty of this team last year when they completely fell apart after the bye week. I'm very aware of the body of work of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. Not Nick Caley, though, because he's been buried and I was led to believe that he was going to be the offensive coordinator.
He was sick this week. Sniffles.
I'm not going to wait. I've read plenty.
What do you mean
a lot
not,
with this.
Wait, what?
To say that this team, don't expect them. There's no reason they should win 7 games.
So what's the number
games.
They should? Like 5 for you?
They should be able to tie their shoes and walk out onto the field. That's
Dolphins
I'm giving them
win,
the
Steelers
bare minimum
win,
expectation.
Loss, Ravens win. Packers loss. Lions win. Browns without Watson win. Bears win.
They
Jets win,
should
Colts loss,
be
Jets
able
win, Vikings
to put
loss,
their helmets on
Bills
with
loss,
no assistance.
Cardinals
they should
win,
be able
Raiders
to
win,
find the tunnel to walk out to the
Bengals
field.
Loss.
Other than that, I will not allow them
Dolphins
anything.
Dolphins win.
Now, I have not looked at the Bruins schedule once this offseason because I have no idea like what they're even trying to
It was wedding week this week. This week was weddings.
The season just ended two days ago.
The Bruins took on weddings and marriages this week in Italy, I believe, when the whole crew was over there. But it wasn't like the third or fourth liners. It was the Stars, right?
No, the Stars were at Tuukka's wedding, and then the third and fourth liners were at Taylor Hall's wedding.
That's where Jim Montgomery was.
So I actually have a couple questions about what they're doing because we heard about a month ago, Lou said he reported that David Krejci was all but returning to the Bruins. They were just,
used the breaking news sounder, too.
We used it.
Tough look.
It was breaking at the time, and I guess it's still breaking, but there's nothing. Like, there's no updates. We have no contract for David Krejci, no contract for Bergeron, no contract for Pavel Zacha, who they traded for. We'll get to what the Bruins are doing next because I have no idea what it is. That's next on the producer show.
Now, we're right back to it. The WEEI Producers Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
I think we're in a really good place with Patrice. Just the timing and working out the details of his contract and allowing him to declare that, he's good to go. Could be any time frame there. Just working through some of the stuff, letting some of this day pass, and again, he's the only one that's going to make that final announcement because he has the final say. David Krejci, we've had numerous discussions throughout the day. Going to try to continue to find some common ground there. Remains positive, but I just don't have a clear cut answer for you.
Going to allow Patrice Bergeron to announce his return on his own time frame. That was 4 weeks ago. That was July 14th. And the previous night on July 13th, Patrice Bergeron was on TV, I believe. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up. I'm going to quote him on this.
Who was that, by the way? Was that the janitor?
Was Don Sweeney.
Oh, okay.
So he actually runs.
Oh, it was Don Sweeney.
He runs the Bruins. So you think he would know what they're actually trying to do? Did it seem like he knew what he was doing?
I don't know what's happening with this team. You asked the question, what is going on with the Boston Bruins right now, 1 month after we were told all these players are coming back, and I still don't know. And it kind of occurred to me yesterday before the show, hey, remember when Lou said that David Krejci was all but guaranteed to come back? Remember when they said that Patrice Bergeron, we've had all these talks with him, and we're going to let him announce it on his time. Remember when Pavel Zacha was going to they traded for Pavel Zacha, and apparently they were supposed to save money. And he's arbitration eligible. It's actually going to cost you more.
You really save money by not signing a guy you just traded for, right? Isn't that a true way to save money?
I mean, if it's an honor system kind of thing.
I mean, to be honest, that's the best way to save money is not signing a guy you just traded for.
We're going to pay you in ninth floor soft serve vouchers.
John, what's your take on the Don Sweeney comment from 4 weeks ago and how it still holds up today with Bergeron and Krejci?
At first, I was kind of thinking, we saw the, sort of the Marchands and the Bergerons and the even guys like Krejci, Krug, McAvoy were all over for Tuukka Rask's wedding in Italy this past weekend. And so I see that and I'm thinking, maybe they're just over there having a time and they just told the agents, look, we'll do the contract thing when we get back.
Don't worry about it.
I think they're back. I assume they're back now unless they just decided to stay for whatever reason. We aren't seeing David Krejci's wife posting, she just documents all this stuff. And she
loves Fenway, by the way.
I believe she is aware of what she's doing when she does that. But we're not really seeing that anymore. So I assume all these cats are back. And it still hasn't happened. So I guess the next date that we need to draw, the next line of demarcation would be this Thursday, August 11th. That is Pavel Zacha's arbitration date. He is the very last. His name is starts with a Z.
Shut up. Do they really do it alphabetically?
By day they do. So it's not alphabetically. God. So August 11th, for example, you've got Mason Appleton, Morgan Geeky, Tyce Thompson, Matthew Tkachuk. Well, not anymore. Jake Walman and Pavel Zacha are scheduled. And Pavel Zacha's last because it's Z.
Oh,
so Pavel Zacha will be the last arbitration date for a restricted free agent in the entire NHL, and that will be on August 11th this Thursday. So I'd like to think that gets done August 11th, and then August 12th the Bruins do their 5 p.m. news dump thing, and maybe after Merlone and Fourier is signing off next Friday, that is when the news will come down. Here are the contracts and let's go from
here. I can get down with that. So next,
that is the name of the show, by the way, according to the banners at Gillette. You nailed it, John. Thank you.
Yeah, Tyler, Mego doesn't exist according to the Gillette Stadium banners that promote WEI. Unbelievable. I totally forgot where I was going with this. Oh, Bruins preseason opener is September 24th. We have
let's go.
We have a month and 3 weeks.
I'll be going to that. It's a Saturday night. It two is. Saturday nights in a row that they got preseason at Gillette. I want to see some of the kids play.
I like hockey, but my God, it's so
$20.
I'm saying the season is so freaking long. They just ended like last month, and they're like, okay, boys, time to get the skates on again. Meanwhile, if you look at the Bruins cap space, I follow at Bruins cap space.
Awesome
great
account.
Great account if you're looking for all these.
It's actually run by Christian Fourier.
I asked him the other day.
I just blew up
on
that. I'm sorry. He's been secretly running that account.
I knew it. Christian, you liar. And where they project out, I would like to know where this team stands. I think we had all kind of known, if you've been following, that they weren't going to have a ton of cap space to begin with without having some casualties, you know. I think I read recently that Craig Smith might be a guy that they could be looking to move on from. You know, maybe one of their middle D-men, like a Mike Riley. Or a Grizzlick that's making, you know, over $3 million this year. But it really, they can't do anything, John, until they solve the Pavel Zacha thing, correct?
Yeah, they'll do the Zacha thing.
How do they know
I don't know. I don't know when. There is like a date. There is a certain, like, I think you can be 10% over the cap until a certain date of the season. So they can, like, get Zacha signed, get Krejci and Bergeron signed, and then, like, deal with it before
just
that
date
comes. Just
throw somebody on long-term IR, John.
That's yeah, so that, do. Well, that's what I was going to say,
oh, they
Nick.
Have
if
plenty
the producer
of
doesn't talk over the damn host before he says the thing he's about to say.
Good point, Nick.
And then at some point, you throw someone on long-term IR.
Well, Pam, go ahead.
There's gonna be quite a few injuries, obviously, this fall. Marchand, Grizzlick, and Charlie McAvoy are gonna be out for a little bit. You can throw all of them on. I think you can throw four players on long-term IR or something like that.
As a Lightning.
That's going to be during that time, that's when you're gonna see some of the kids play. Some of those, you know, the more recent draft picks, guys like that. So, and then if any of those guys stick and you want to stick with those guys, by the time you need to take Marchand off of long-term IR and McAvoy and Grizzlick, that's when you make a move on a Craig Smith, who is a valuable third-line winger to maybe a team that's trying to make a push where Craig Smith, they don't have to be too reliant on a Craig Smith to maybe be scoring goals for them. But that's when you make a move on a Mike Riley or a Foligno.
Oh, it's
going to
be a lot of Jack Aishon in our immediate future.
I think he's going to be good.
So just to recap everything that we've discussed today. So I still think that the Red Sox have a chance, even though the world thinks that they're Dunsky. I think the Patriots are going to be terrible. The Bruins have no money and can't field a team. So what do I do? Do I take Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and hold them close to my bosom? Because I feel like the fall is going to be a very dire time in Boston sports.
We had it on the docket here. We didn't get to it, but there was sound from Jason Tatum about playing here in Boston and winning with Jaylen Brown. Right. And I probably would have trotted out the take that after seeing this potential 5-year, $300 million contract for Jason Tatum, I would probably do a straight-up Tatum for Durant swap.
Oh, no.
But we're right out of time. It's currently 8:54:51. Time check brought to you by Andy Grush. This is the WEI Producer Show. Ryan Garvin, John Anderson, Tyler Devitt. The Producer Show is produced, as always, by Nick LaPan.
Pour one out, Kim K and Pete Davidson.
Yes. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. Dang it. I'm so mad about that, though, because...
Well, I'm sure Curtis and Barrett are going to jump
with it,
right into it.
And if Pete and Kim K can't make it work, like, how could I ever find true love in this solo world?
It's a crazy world we live
in,
Tyler.
Such a cold and dark world to live in.
Cold, cold heart.
It's been the Producer's Show. Hit the Odyssey app or WEI.com. And the Ken and Curtis Show with Brian Barrett is next on EEI.
Play out!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.